Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're looking forward to having dialogue and discussion with you on Let's Face the Issues. We look forward to this broadcast each day. We can allow you, our listeners, to dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about a divided America today, slave states and free states. Yes, again, we have slave states and free states in America. We're talking about those states that are opening their economy, opening their system of governance, and allowing we the people to make the decision on the direction we go, allowing we the people to determine our health condition and the welfare for ourselves, allowing we the people to make the determination we're going to get a COVID pass vaccination or if we're going to choose not to. And yet there's some slave states that's still mandating all of these things on we the people, the citizens of the United States of America. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if there's any greater time in American history where we have the scenario that we find today. I don't know if there's any time in American history past, that we find the scenario as we find today in relationship to the slave states and the free states being absolutely identifiable. We'll talk about that during this broadcast today. And I pray that you'll tune in, join in the dialogue and discussion. What are your thoughts on Florida and Texas being the free states and others are following suit? And yet we have the majority of the states today that I call slave states where the people have no choice. The people are simply required to bow and to submit and to bend at every whim and wish of the tyrannical, dictatorial governors and mayors. I'm appalled by finding that it so easily can be done and that Americans will so easily submit and surrender our Bill of Rights, our constitutional liberties, to a tyrannical form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we should stand on, nothing more, nothing less. We should accept it and believe it by faith from cover to cover. I'm always appalled by and amazed by and curious by those that will say, well, you know, the Bible has errors in it, and I don't know if the Bible is trustworthy, and I don't know if I can believe what the Bible says, or the Bible has a number of errors that I just find disconcerting, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, when a person says that, they're saying that they're smarter than God, that they're wiser than God, that they're more enlightened than God, that they found where God made an error in the Scripture. I'm appalled by that. It is the source book for life. The Bible is the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that we ought to stand on. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a society today where truth is just simply not accepted. But yet Jesus said himself in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Scripture that we need to look at, analyze, scrutinize, and inculcate in our lives. Nothing more and nothing less. It was the secularist George Orwell I believe it was about 1947 to 48. He wrote a book, a dystopian fiction novel entitled 1984. In that book, George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. There is a disdain for truth. In fact, you find that in the Beltway of Washington more than perhaps any other place in America today, but that is spread all over our nation. We need to understand that truth, someone says, well, what is truth? It goes back to the fidelity to the original. That's truth. It's the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, may I say once again, I believe we're getting closer and closer to that era, that day, that time, when for Christians, conservatives, patriots, to stand and speak the truth and stand for the truth, we will risk our lives in doing so. Yes, I believe we're that close in the final days of this old world based on the authority of Scripture. We need to understand that truth ought to be our mantra, our mandate, our modus operandi, our way of life. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands with Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer any and all of your questions relative to the power backup equipment and to professional and homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. It's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole there, 165 feet in the air. Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole and the flag flowing. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about slave states and free states. Slave states and free states. We're a divided nation. Today, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps more than in American history, we see some states that continue to have suppression of freedom with the forced submission to the slave states' demands for control by the socialist Marxist BLM socialist Democrats. And ladies and gentlemen, in those states, the mayors and the governors, we call them blue states. We're talking about those mayors and governors and states that's controlled by the socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. Now, some do not like to extend the definition and the description of the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Communist Party, but I do, because that explains where we are in a divided nation today. A divided nation. Yes, we have free states like Florida and Texas, with a few now awakening to the reality that our constitutional rights that are guaranteed by God, codified in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today more than ever before that we are watching the demise of America, as I call it. Lest we step in, speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen, and stop the trajectory in which this nation is headed. We're watching not only a divided, but a total disassembling of the very foundations of our nation. And Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the question that needs to be asked, demands to be answered. But I'm reminding you of Matthew 12:25. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. What does that mean? What is Jesus saying? Simply, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at the position of America today, it's an impossibility for America or any other nation to stand and to withstand the enemies of the demonic control that's major today, to be able to sustain itself and stand as a cohesive nation. It's an impossibility with the divisiveness and the division that we find taking place in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, the political left, the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, focused on the overthrow, yes, focused on the overthrow of our constitutional republic and making America a socialist communist nation. It has us on the fast track, ladies and gentlemen, of division and ultimate collapse. There's several things we'll talk about today, and I'll introduce our very special guest in just a moment. But there's several things we'll talk about during the course of this broadcast today. We're going to talk about the voter ID law in the state of Georgia and the repercussions on a national level. We're going to talk about the COVID vaccination and whether or not we are involved in the fast tracking of a COVID pass, a COVID vaccination requirement to eat or to travel, et cetera, et cetera. And thirdly, we're going to talk about the Equality Act, House Bill H.R. 5, the Equality Act. It's really, as Matt Staver with Liberty Council called it, the Unequality Act, and that's literally what it is. It's not an Equality Act. It's the Unequality Act, because that's exactly what it does. So, ladies and gentlemen, those are the three major things we're going to discuss today. Or any other thing that you'd like to jump in with your dialogue and discussion, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's always our delight to have as our special guest Mike Hill. Mike is with us today. He's the former District 1 Republican representative in the state of Florida. Mike is a true conservative, a Christian gentleman, one that is a professional and a patriot, as I call him. And I am thankful for Mike and for his stand for the Lord, his stand for our Constitution, his stand for our Bill of Rights, his stand for our liberties and a nation that is so rapidly crumbling to the tyrannical governmental control. Mike, delighted to have you with us today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And listening to your opening monologue is always invigorating and lets me know that you are also a person who is conservative, who is a Christian, of course, and adheres to our founding principles of the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Amen. You succinctly capsulized my stand. We say with the Youngblood family, and it's my wife, myself, four sons, and four daughters in love, and 10 grandkids, and one great-grandson, and we're God and country. That explains explicitly and completely and capsulization of where we are, because I believe that the rights and the liberties we have as Americans today are given to us by God himself, our creator, and they're codified in our Constitution. And it's to be carried out by we the people. And we the people should be the ones that we recognize that's in charge of the government, not the government in charge of we the people. But we've got it kind of reversed in society today, and I am concerned about that. And that's some of the things we'll talk about. Mike, we are familiar with, and most everybody's heard some news events in some fashion about the new voter laws in the state of Georgia. And I'm looking at an article where Ben Carson rips Ilhan Omar for comparing Georgia to apartheid. Ben Carson says it's disgusting. I'll just read you a brief paragraph or two. Then we'll look at the Georgia voter law and what it says and what it doesn't say and why it's important that we understand it. Former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Dr. Ben Carson spoke on Tuesday to rip into Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, for what he described as the disgusting comparison that she made between Georgia's new election law and South African apartheid of the mid-20th century. Quote, "Our hope is that this boycott will result in changes in the law, because we understand that when you restrict people's ability to vote, you create a democracy that isn't fully functioning for all the people," Ilhan Omar acknowledged, and of the new Georgia election law, and prohibits electioneering in the vicinity of the polls, expands weekend early voting, and strengthens ID requirements absentee ballots. Carson fired back by saying that it was both offensive and dangerous for Omar to compare the Georgian election law with something that is serious as apartheid. "It's so disgusting that people would try to make something as horrible as apartheid and try to equate it to this end." And he went on then to further discuss that and talk about it. He said, we're not each other's enemies. Trying to create black victimhood and white guilt does not lead us to a good place, he said. Not stopping there, Carson also went after President Joe Biden for describing the Georgia law as the Jim Crow on steroids. Now, Congressman, I know that you're familiar with what has taken place, but for the benefit of our listeners that may not know, explain to us what the Georgia law has done, what they've changed, what they've modified, and what the law actually says as compared to what some of the Democrats and the socialist Marxists are saying about it.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, Representative Omar should not even be a representative in the United States. She is not duly qualified to be one. When you look in her background, where she comes from, Somalia, how she got here, and how she falsely used documentation in order to get here and then also to run for office. And then it has been documented that they use election fraud to get her reelected. She shouldn't even be in the U.S. House of Representatives. And then to have the nerve to come from her country, Somalia, a war-torn third world nation, comes here to enjoy all the benefits of the United States of America and then does nothing but criticize it and tear it down. I do not hold in any kind of regard anything that she has to say at all. And I wouldn't even respond to anything she had to say. But what Dr. Carson did say was about it was absolutely correct and spot on. We find too many times where politicians try to divide this nation using the old Marxist ideology of divide and conquer, dividing this into different classes, into different groups, because then when you pit them against each other and anarchy then ensues, that of course the government can step in to correct it and fix it. That's how we see communism get started and how it works in country after country, Russia, China, Venezuela, Cuba. And all of those have been an utter disaster in terms of the infringement upon God-given rights and on civil liberties. What we have in Georgia is an attempt by the Georgia legislature and the governor to, first of all, correct the widespread fraud that took place in this last election, yes, the presidential election, and also the senatorial elections, which we all know the fraud was there. It's well documented. We have it on videos. And I understand that they are still investigating the Dominion machines that were being used and also the ballots, recounting the ballots. It's just too obvious that election was stolen from President Trump. I think forevermore, Joe Biden is going to have an asterisk next to his name because of the election fraud that took place. And then after that fraud took place with the 2020 election, the Democrats were so bold and brazen as to repeat it to get two Democrat senators in Georgia elected. And they knew that nothing was going to happen because the Supreme Court abdicated their responsibility and would not even look at the information that was presented to them, the evidence that was presented to them showing election fraud, would not even look at it.
If I can jump in for a moment, Congressman, there were 61 plus suits by the five battleground states and the representatives and our governors and our the Trump organization that filed 61 suits. And John Roberts, the Chief Justice, refused to allow any of them to have evidence presented to the courts for a determination to be made. Just summarily said no to each of those requests for those cases to be heard. And yet we have the socialist Marxist Democrats that are saying, well, the courts kicked them out because they didn't have evidence. Is that a true statement or not?
That is not a true statement. They were not allowed to present the evidence. And in my mind, that is an impeachable offense of the Chief Justice, John Roberts. Being on a Supreme Court is not a lifetime appointment, as many people think. You are on a Supreme Court as long as you display good behavior. You can be impeached for bad behavior. And I think that amounted to the definition of bad behavior when you would not accept your responsibility, your job, and your duty to at least look at the evidence and then come to a decision. So right. what this Georgia law is trying to do is first of all, strengthen the voter ID requirements, that if you request a mail-in ballot, that it has to be verified with ID. There's nothing wrong with that. They shorten the amount of time that ballots can be received and counted before Election Day. There's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing in that that says we are doing this only to black people, or we're doing it only to people of color, to try and justify the nonsensical remarks that Ilhan Omar made and that Joe Biden, my goodness, calls it Jim Crow on steroids. But he half the time he doesn't know what he's saying anyway. It really right. is a sad situation. And he
doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't know where he is when he's saying it.
That's right. He really should have medical attention. It's very serious what he is going through. And oftentimes, you know, a lot of jokes are being made about it, but it's not a laughing matter.
That's right.
This is a man who is supposed to be running the most powerful nation on earth and interacting with other nations around the world. And he doesn't know where he is or what he is saying the majority of the time. So for them to say that for some reason that this is going to stop black people or make it more difficult for black people to vote is so patronizing and is such a shameful thing to say, to make it seem like that for some reason a black person cannot obtain an ID to vote. It's just crazy. And again, nowhere in this law is it pointing towards a specific race or specific group of people. It applies to everyone throughout the state of Georgia to make the elections less susceptible to fraud. In my mind, their bill did not go far enough.
Absolutely. Hold on a moment, if you would. I believe we have a call on the line. Joseph, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. As I understand it, the Constitution says the people vote and elect the president. But by the Supreme Court deliberately refusing to do their job, that caused Biden to be elected. So why can't somebody do something about that?
It's a good question, Joseph. Congressman, how do you respond to that? What would your answer be?
Well, Joseph, great question. I would correct you just a little bit. You said that the people vote to elect our president. Actually, it's the Electoral College that votes to elect our president. And the Electoral College comes from each state, a number of representatives, and typically they will vote based on how the public has voted within that state of who they want to be their president. So we indirectly elect our president. That being said, when the Supreme Court would not accept the responsibility before them, they usurped the will of the people,
right,
of the Electoral College, as to who should be the actual president because of the fraud that was involved.
Right. Is there no remedy? No, nothing. I mean, nobody wants to do anything.
Well, that's where we, the people, must stand up. It is up to us. If we have a Supreme Court that will not accept their responsibility, then we, the people, we should go directly to our U.S. congressmen, who are the House of Representatives, our senators. In Florida, we know it is Marco Rubio and Rick Scott. Here in where I'm from, in the Pensacola area, We have the currently embattled Matt Gaetz, who is looks like he's under investigation for some very serious allegations. But we need to make our voices known to them that we demand action, and they should do something. We have our senators who are taking these trips down to the border, which is good. They should bring in attention to the man-made disaster that is happening there. But we also need these senators to be just as loud and vocal and to be standing up demanding that the Supreme Court do its job, do its responsibility, and make sure that we correct this obvious election fraud that we saw that was stolen from President Trump.
Well, at the least, they should pass legislation where this can never happen again. Something as important and huge as a presidential election, they can't just say no. We're not going to look at it. That's not right.
Well, Joseph, you're exactly right. And one of the things I'd like to jump in and say, this is the reason there's a movement in Washington, out of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and others, that are wanting businesses, major businesses and major corporate entities, to substantiate and to publicly state that the election was not compromised, that the election was, quote, fair and square, and that Joe Biden was the legally elected president. They're pushing for that to be done. That is the political correctism that's taking place to make it sound in the public's eye and ear that everything was okay in the election, and it was not. So it goes back to what we're talking about with the Georgia law. And that Georgia law, as the congressman's talking about, is designed with the new law to make sure that this does not happen in Georgia again. But, Joseph, Amen. Thank you so much for your call, for your input. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, brother. Congressman, Amen. Getting back to the voter ID law in the state of Georgia, I find it antithetical to anything that's called, how would you call it, common sense, when we have places like the MLB, the Major League Baseball, that's ripping the Georgia voter ID law and requiring themselves requiring ID. I don't know if you know it or not, aware of it or not, Congressman, but with the Major League Baseball, they require an ID to get into their stadium or to buy their tickets.
That's right. But they want to boycott or pull the All-Star game out of Georgia because Georgia is simply saying we want our elections to be fair and square, and identification saying you are who you say you are is nothing wrong with that. And I think what we're going to see, because Major League Baseball wasn't the only one, there was also Coca-Cola and Delta who are speaking out against this Georgia law. And I read recently where Delta is feeling a backlash on that, where they had to cancel over 100 flights because of lack of customers who are now boycotting Delta. And I think we need to not only boycott Delta, conservative, red-blooded Americans should not only boycott Delta, but include Coca-Cola products in there also.
Yes. Yes.
And Major League Baseball. Don't go to their spring training games. Don't go to their baseball games. And let them start feeling the impact, the effect, much like the NFL did because of their nonsense of kneeling when a national anthem was being played.
Absolutely. Congressman, got about 45 seconds before our news break. Take a moment or two with the National League Baseball. They've moved to Colorado. Are the situations in Colorado with the voter ID laws any different than Georgia, the better or the worse?
I'll have to admit, Dr. Youngblood, I'm not quite sure of what Colorado's voting laws are, but I would suspect that they also need to have an ID in order to vote in Colorado.
They do.
Much like Georgia's doing.
They have voter ID in Colorado, and their restrictions are greater, and their time for absentee balloting and for voting in the election pre-election day is shorter than the state of Georgia offers. And so therefore, it is actually more restrictive and repressive than the new Georgia law. Congressman, hold on for just a moment. We're going to take a top of the hour news break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't turn your dial as we continue to face the issues.